Hi, this is Jason and Mark with Inner Man Radio.
A free service to thinkers everywhere, demystifying the Bible by asking the questions your neighborhood pastor is afraid to answer.
All right, Mark, I hit the record button this time. So I'm thinking, so we're actually recording in...
third time's a charm?
Third time?
Right?
Ish? Ish? Sure, sure. Is that...
a great way to start our series on time management, really.
At least over halfway through the last time, we I had to tap you, and you were right in the middle of a really good monologue, too.
That's not coming back.
And so I had to tap you and say, hey, Mark, guess what? I forgot to hit the record button. So we recorded it again in record time, and then when I was going back and listening to it, Mark, it sounded like it was in record time. So here we go. Here we go again.
See, this the kind of quality control that people never know goes on behind the scenes
at
Inner Man Radio. The product that you get, regardless of what you might think about it, is really much better than what we started out with.
So we're in this series, How to Be Effective in Times of Chaos and Uncertainty.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, back up a little bit. What are we talking about here and why? So we're inundated daily with information that's negative about our world completely disintegrating before our very eyes, which is pretty much true. Yeah. And so it can be tough to figure out, A, what am I supposed to be doing about all this? And B, having the right mindset to be effective at what we're supposed to be doing
in
all this.
Yeah, sometimes it just seems like we're swatting at a swarm of bees all the time, and there's so many things going on that could legitimately use our attention, but trying to get the most bang for our buck and trying to be smart and intelligent in the way that we prioritize. And one of the things we've decided to work on is, well, how do I use my time?
That's right. Because that's something that, we'll back up even before that. Yeah. How do I use my time? But that's something we can control.
Yes.
So we're focusing on the things that we can control. Things like spouses, pets. Yeah.
Theoretically.
No.
Or not.
No. Sorry, Christina. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. So, no, we're talking about things that we can control. So we started off with time. And in that, we were talking about, in principle, how we use our time and how focusing on using our time will not only make us more effective, obviously, but also will keep us from falling into the trap of feeling helpless, hopeless, hapless, in unemployed in Greenland.
Right. Yeah, and so our listeners will be the beneficiaries. We've taken all of those kind of very cliche concepts, and
yes,
we have boiled those down for you into real life scenarios. So you'll get to see only the big picture. You're going to get to see the nitty-gritty, the down and dirty. This is what it looks like.
If you ever wanted to know what the Eagle soaring poster looks like close up, this is it.
This is it.
So we talked about time, but we were really talking about effective use of it. We were talking in general principles. So let's get down to some nitty-gritty this week, Mark. Okay.
We're going to find some time.
Yeah, we're going to find time. But, you know, first of all, you realize people who are in CrossFit always tell you they're in CrossFit, and that's actually kind of a thing.
To
tell them if you are in it. Like if you're in CrossFit, the first thing that's required of you when you sign the contract is to tell everybody that you're in CrossFit.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah,
I did not know that other gyms were so judgmental for that.
Yeah. So
but you've joined a gym.
I did, but it's not CrossFit. So that hence the so
obviously.
Yeah, clearly. So I joined a gym, and it's kind of one of these gyms where you have to convince them to let you in. So I smooth talked him and sweet talked him, and maybe slid some pizza under the door. I don't know. Anyway, somehow I made it in, and it's been great. But one of the things, so I'm sitting down with KJ, and by the way, it's been an awesome experience, and a shout out to KJ who owns the gym, but we're sitting down. We're trying to carve out in schedules, how do we make more time to get to the gym more often and stay there longer, right? Okay, so...
You know, make the most of this investment.
Yes, absolutely. Right, you know, so this is kind of when the metal... When the rubber meets the road, I should say, right? I don't know, mixer of metaphors. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All right, so we're at the gym. We're trying to find more time.
And so...
We're going to get it.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I'm coming in here at 4:35 a.m., 3 days a week, some day, times 4 days a week, and I'm here
for... You can sleep in your workout clothes.
Right. So I'm thinking, how in the world? Well, would you let me finish the story, Mark? Good grief. Oh, come on. So I have to, in my mind, what's happening here is I'm thinking, there is no way I can find more time for this. I mean, and so here I'm going to say out loud the stuff that went through my mind and a bit of the verbal throw up that I gave KJ. Okay. You ready?
Go.
Okay, all right. First of all, you got to understand that I only have so much time. I mean, my life is different than most people because, well, first of all, I've got not only kids, I've got grandkids. Mm-hmm. And I have to spend time with those grandkids, and I've made a dedication to them. And this is going to sound real spiritual. Yeah, dedication to them, sounding real Bible-y here. And each morning at a certain time, we do breakfast with the kids and grandkids, and we tell Bible stories. And I that's important, and it is important. That's the truth. But I got to spend time with my kids outside of the grandkids. They still have some needs. And then there's spending time with Christina, which always happens on time every time. Sorry, hon. But they're spending time with Christina, prayer time, devotion time, talking every once in a while. And then there's the family devotion, you know. And then I have to engage in spiritual content because of the other projects and studies I've got going on. There's creation research stuff. Yep. There's Bible study stuff. There's all that. And then I actually need to make some money to pay the bills. I mean, there is that. You know, there's that.
Does KJ know about that?
About paying the bills?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I didn't, you know, anyway. So
where does that leave us?
Well, that leaves me really with just a few options, Mark, and none of them are good. You know, so, if I get more gym time, I have to sleep less. That's just the bottom
line. Okay. All right.
Or if I get more gym time, I can ditch the grandkids.
Yeah, sure you can.
Or more gym time and I can sleep at the office, like you mentioned. Sleep at the office. Or if I can multitask, like sleep while I'm at the office and get work done and get paid. But like, you know, you had a good idea when we were talking through this before, too, though. You mentioned like if I don't brush my teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I can save a couple minutes here and there.
Absolutely. That adds up, you know. I think Jen might want me to up my, you know, maybe get to 3 or 4 times a week, too.
All these things. And of course, you know, the mind is an amazing thing because it very well could be that I do not have any more time to put into this. I mean, that is an option. For certain is. But the process of walking through this is a bit revealing because the mind couches things in such a way to where you convince yourself that you absolutely cannot do not. Before you even really look at before you weigh it out. So, and then because the first thing it's going to do is going to convince you that you're somehow unique. Yeah. I'm special. I'm special. And I'm different. And doggone it, people, because I'm special and different, my schedule is different. I've got different demands and you just don't understand.
Sure. It's really tempting, especially when it's something, a change that we're resistant to. The mind immediately throws up a number of obstacles as to why this thing can't really be done. Whereas, generally, if it's something that we're excited about, something we want to do, the mind will start to find ways to solve that problem. But if it's something that, at least for me personally, if it's something that I'm not all that keen on, and the suggestion arises,
burpees, not keen on burpees,
then the mind immediately throws up all these obstacles. Why? Nope, can't do it. This won't work. And like you said, my situation is unique. Maybe somebody else could do that. But here's all of the preliminary reasons why it won't work for me.
Right. So, but here's the deal. Congratulations. You're just like everybody else.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Yes. Each one of us has some unique things that we're doing in life that are, by unique, I mean, we're doing them. Somebody else is not doing them for us, right? So,
sure.
And so God has given us those responsibilities, and it very well could be. You know, there's only so much time, but we all have the same amount of it, and Jesus talks about this.
Yeah, he did. In John 11, verse 9, Jesus just reminds them that there are 12 hours in the day. The point is, make the most of it. And so everybody has really the same amount of time. It's how they allow it to be used and who they allow to use it or set those priorities for them.
Yeah. So what we're trying to figure out is, do we have time to do this, that, and the other thing, and how do we manage that? So we've got the same amount of time. And that's good news, but that's kind of bad news, isn't it? I mean, the good news is that it proves that, you know, well, your time is valuable. I mean, doesn't it prove that?
In fact, you know, time is a commodity like other things, and it's based on values, based on supply and demand. If you have more supply, if you have more time, you have to gain. You know, I think that was like nursing home.
your time doesn't have value because there's no demand time. You're not accomplishing or redeeming it for any state. You've got enough time to go around.
Yeah, and you know, and it's really cool because only on Interman Radio would you get the Milton Friedman explanation of time.
That's right.
I'm just saying. Right. But the bad news is, I mean, the good news is your time has value.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much of it. The bad news is your time has value because there's only so much of it.
See, but the more valuable your time becomes, the more carefully you have to sell it. So that means you get to sell it for specific things, but there's some things that you can't do. That's just part of the process of really evaluating or appraising time the way you have to if you're going to make the most of yours.
Yeah, Mark. So I've got a little note here. It says Mark's bulletin back. Yeah. Talk to us about that.
We don't have time for that. It's okay. We don't have to put that in today.
We fixed that.
We can probably. Do we have time?
I think.
Fabulous. Well,
I think so.
Writing the bulletin backs is something that I enjoy, but I often put it off. A little farther than I should. So sometimes Saturday evenings are a little bit late because I'm writing the bulletin back for tomorrow's Sunday bulletin.
Yeah, well, okay. So maybe that there might be times when that actually is absolutely a good thing because you may have chosen to do something that was at the moment more important than the bulletin back. Is that correct?
Is that like procrastination? Because that's often the thing. Probably.
Okay. Well, but it's really all about choices, though. It's about making those choices with your time.
It's about making those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, right. Maybe spending more time at the gym is not, you know, like if a person's already spending 25 hours a week at the gym, maybe it's not a good decision to spend more. Maybe it is. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish.
It is. And a danger that people often run into is trying to just take someone else's priorities and make them their own.
Right.
So, sure, 25 hours a week at the gym, that might be reasonable for someone. Probably not reasonable for me, you know, but that's their priority. And so just the same way that we wouldn't presume to tell people how to spend their money in general, we don't presume to tell them how to prioritize their time. Everyone's position is a little bit unique and is a little bit different. And that means you have to take responsibility for your own.
Right. We own our own priorities. We make them our own. No one can do it for us. And so where does that leave us? I mean, that's a great principle. Hey, it's the Eagle soaring poster again. Okay, so
the claws are you have to decide, just like your monthly budget, you have to decide where your priorities are and what's going to receive allocated time and what's not.
Okay, let's back up for just a minute. Why is this so important?
Well, otherwise, it's just like your financial budget. If you don't decide where to spend your time, it just evaporates, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, the day ends and you look back at your schedule or what you intended to do, and there's a whole bunch of to-dos that never got did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's just like if it's not on purpose, it's still going to get spent. You're just not going to have anything for it by the time it's gone.
Right. Except for you would have seen some really cool Facebook posts and you would have liked a lot of things.
Videos. Epic redneck fails. Sure. That is worth the time. Right. Anything with a chainsaw and gasoline.
Oh, man, now you're talking. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Homesteading videos are really good, too. Homesteading. How to live off-grid. Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, there's different ways you can try and do it. You know, some people try and assign points. How many, you know, if you only have a certain number of points, how many do I give this or that? Well, that seems really tedious. And
Milton Friedman would have done that. I'm pretty sure he did, actually.
But you got to find out some way to do it. And every once in a while, you're going to need to revisit this. But you need to get started if you haven't already. You need to decide what things really are the most important things in my life. And then what do I need to do in order to get them done?
Sure you don't want to get into the Milton Friedman point scale, Mark?
Like more than that?
Yeah, like the nuts and bolts of the points. Here's the thing. Like when we were recording last time or two times ago, so you had this really great plan for assigning points, but the more we stepped back and thought about it, it kind of translated into something else that already existed.
Well, so Mr. Spreadsheet, if you want to make a pie chart,
yes.
You can do it that way. Mm-hmm. If you want to assign a certain number of points, you can do it that way. So let's say everybody starts with 50 points.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. You got 50 points and you get to spend them however you want to spend them.
Woohoo!
On prioritizing the things in your life. So you're going to put all those things that you want to get done.
Yeah.
The things that are important to you, you're going to assign them a number of points, but you only have 50 to spend.
Right. And so I'm going to have to think this through a bit here because what are you saying over there? You're crossed
no
over
extra
talking.
No points under the table.
Okay. So thinking this through a little bit, I've got 54 points to spend. And is that daily? Is that daily, weekly?
You know, I don't know that it matters. You could say these are just, are these life points? You could spend them for the week.
That sounded like a Successories poster. These are my life points.
With the eagle.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say I've got 50 points in a week to chew up. So, and then I assign, now this is where it takes a level of honesty, folks, because it would be easy to let the mind assign points to things that are to get you the results that you want.
Yeah, just have your wife do this for you. It'll be a lot easier.
That's a really good idea, actually.
It's a great
idea. Yeah. Christina, I'm coming to you,
honey. 50 points to spend, honey. Can you help me with this? Yeah.
So, but this is really going to come back to a couple questions. The first is, what's the most important thing for me? What is most important to get done? I've only got so many points to spend. What are the 2, 3, 4 things? And what we'll find out is the same way as a budget. I mean, when you start putting your line items in a budget and you put them in priority, so number one would be like food or housing, so you start putting them in order and you put a dollar amount next to each one of those line items. And then as you're going along and you're taking a look at what you have left over after that particular line item, you might not make it through the whole list. In fact, you probably won't.
You probably won't. And with time especially, you're going to run out.
Yeah.
Because there isn't time enough to do everything that demands our attention or even time enough to do everything that should be done. So that causes us to do two things. One, it causes us to be more efficient. How can we address those needs in a way that that uses less time? It also causes us to make decisions about, if I have to choose one, what's it going to be?
Right. This really comes back to, though, when we're talking about time being a bit of a commodity. And I always wish there was a better word for commodity because it sounds so like it's so cheap, because time is not cheap. No. It's extremely valuable. But it is a commodity in the sense that there's only so much of it and it is traded for something else. And so in Ephesians 5:16, it talks about redeeming that.
It does. Yeah. And that word to redeem means to buy up, to ransom, or even to rescue. So, you know, you figure you start off with the day and you have a certain number of minutes to spend. And the question is, by the time you're finished, what did you buy up, ransom, or rescue with those minutes? That time you don't get to keep, but if you did it right, if you redeemed it, then you got to exchange it for something that has some value and something that has a bit of permanence. Ultimately, of course, the scriptures really instruct us to be wise in the use of our time and win souls. I mean, the things that are ultimately most important are people's souls. And whether that's, you know, sitting down for morning devotions, or whether that's going to the office and getting work done off the desk, all those should have a spiritual focus, and it should be a redeeming of our time. We want to exchange it as dearly as possible to get the greatest spiritual result. So when are we going to start redeeming the time?
I don't know. I'm kind of busy tomorrow. I've got kind of a full schedule, so I can't really redeem it if I don't have it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, You know, Jesus was pretty good at finding time. And so like in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says he woke up early in the morning. I know early mornings, everyone loves early mornings. You're an early morning guy.
I am an early morning guy.
Yeah.
Not quite as much as I used to be. But still, you know.
I've never really been so much. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, I find getting up early is easy. Yeah, it's going to bed on time that is the challenge. That is the harder point. But again, it's a trade-off, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't do both. You're going to have to choose one. And Jesus does that well. He gets up early when things are still desolate, the traffic lights are still blinking red, and Jesus is getting stuff done before a lot of the guys are out of the sack.
Might also mean that we're carving out some things in our schedule that aren't scheduled, that we waste our time on. We alluded to it a little bit earlier, Facebook, social media, sure. Things like that. Those things never make it to the calendar.
No, you never schedule that in.
No, but
somehow they get done.
It's weird. It is the
crazy.
Weirdest thing. or, you know, I got to grab that text right now. I was, I was talking to somebody, I was Facebooking. No, I was talking to somebody.
Right.
This is actually going back a couple years. And they, what they do is they're very efficient with their time. They actually bundle everything into little chunks. Now, I'm not saying this works for everybody, but it gets the wheels turning as far how can I use my time?
So give me an example. What are they bundling?
All right. So it'd be like, okay, emails. So emails. Yep. I check emails, they would say at 9 a.m. and at 2 p.m.
Oh, okay.
And I respond to those accordingly at that time. I'm not letting the inbox be, you know, dictate my day every time
every
I do
little
email.
Ding.
Yeah.
I don't run to check and
Exactly. And they actually have it set pre-programmed so that they don't get notifications between those times.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. And they do the same thing with texts. I only say, now, that would be a little bit tricky for some of us who maybe have, you know, family and things that need to communicate a little bit more often with us. So that might not work for everybody.
Right.
But you understand the concept of saying, how can I make things more efficient so that I'm not being pulled off, I'm distracted on things that I'm not actually putting on the calendar.
That is a great, that actually is a really good example of taking control of making those decisions, not allowing your circumstances or other things to make those decisions de facto for you.
Right. In the last episode, you mentioned how when Jesus was approached with a family crisis, somebody needed him to do something. And he says, look, am I made the arbiter between you two? Is that really my? And he says, you know, this is really not my job. That's not why I'm here. Fellas, I'm not able to do that. Yeah, so there's the taking inventory of those kinds of things too. What kinds of things are hitting us that become the tyranny of the urgent, but they really aren't important? They're just that I need it right now. You, everybody's going to have to cross those. I mean, it might be a family member who always runs out of gas.
That family member, yeah.
You know, I was that family member for my parents.
Sorry, I only fill gas between 4 and 5. That's it.
I need you to come right now and give me a, you know, that was me. That was me for a long time. And so, you know, like because of poor planning, making everybody else drop what they're doing to meet my needs. And I needed it right now. Well, you know what? If we're on the other side of that, the word no is okay.
It is okay.
I can't do that right now. I'm sorry that you ran out of gas, but I just can't.
Yeah. And so when people try to make demands on your time, there's usually an emotional pull that goes along with that. And you know, you can hear that in that interchange, you know, can you bring me some gas? Well, yes. But only between, you know, this is my schedule today. And you have to be willing to set those boundaries. Jesus did that well. He unplugged. He turned the phone off. He went away to a desolate place in Luke 5:16, just to get away from everything. It's quiet. It's not distracted. He's going to set his own priorities, and he's going to get done the things that he needs to get done.
Right. So let's back up. So we're talking about prioritizing. We're talking about planning. That all sounds like so much fun, Mark. Anyway, but really, though, the first step in all of this is to figure out what's important to us. What are our priorities? And we talked about that before as well, but after we get that written down, here's what I'm going to accomplish. And then take inventory of how we are spending our time. Wouldn't you think that's a good idea?
Every so often, you kind of periodically need to go back through these, because as our station in life changes, well, so do the needs we have to address. So, you know, as kids are younger, they get older, you know, that's going to fit into the schedule differently.
Right.
As, you know, this meeting, that Bible study, these things, those will require a more dynamic prioritization of our time, because it's always going to be changing.
Right. That's right.
So, and how often should we revisit that, do you think?
Man, you know, quarterly? It's twice a year? I mean, at the minimum, once a year, I would think.
I think, stuff changes fast. That's a hard question. I haven't really thought about that before, but yeah, at least every year. Because I don't know, my schedule is kind of like the backseat or the trunk of the car. You know, stuff just gets thrown in there.
Yeah.
And it just gets carried around all the time. Often it's not deliberate decision. It's just, well, it fell here.
Right.
And that's where it stays.
That's right. Yeah.
And so you end up carrying a lot of stuff around that you really maybe don't need or shouldn't be worried about. So the periodic, I should clean the car out once a year is probably about that. You know, same idea, just to be deliberate about, okay, well, I've got time is going here. Is that where I want it to be?
Mm-hmm. A great tool to see how we're using it is, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's the calendar, man. That tells us exactly, if we open up our day planner or open up the app and Outlook, whatever it is, look at the calendar, how are we spending our time, and put things on the calendar on purpose and see how much time is left over based on our priorities. You know, it might be that we prioritize 4 Bible studies in a week, 5 nights a week I'm reading to the, you know, I'm reading to the kids, you know, four nights a week. What's that?
Can you count those as Bible studies?
And if Christina is in the same room, it's also Christina time. There we go. Okay.
Efficiency is key.
Yeah. And it's, you know what? If she's there, it's date night, actually.
Try that one. Yeah. See how that goes.
But put it on the calendar. Put it, because that forces us to be honest, because the calendar does not lie.
Yeah.
We can trick ourselves, but the calendar, it's a fixed amount, and you have to find a spot for each thing that you're wanting to prioritize.
Yeah, it's kind of sobering, but it's worth doing occasionally. At the end of the day, go back through what your calendar had for that day and look at exactly what it was that you accomplished. Not the effort that you put in, but what did you accomplish for the end of the day? And do you have 8 hours worth of accomplishment, or... So
10 hours worth of good intentions.
That's right. Yeah. It is sobering to stop sometimes at, oh, wow, I had X amount and this is what I got for it. Tomorrow I need to reprioritize.
All right. So let's redeem the time.
And get out of bed when your alarm clock goes off.
And we'll see you next time on Interman Radio. You know, Mark, I think that was much better than the rushed episode, at least. Yeah, I think
the first one or the second one?
Yes, both. I think it was better. I think this was our best one regarding time.
It may be in the top 5 overall ever.
Could be. It could be
really good. You were on fire today.
Well, you know what? You set me up for success, buddy.
Yeah, thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, you can be sure to never miss an episode by visiting innermanradio.org, or get automatic notifications on your phone with the Innerman Radio app. It's available on Google Play or Apple stores.